Okay, gentlemen, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we are continuing the Archos Sadiqim. This is CD number 16 and Archos Sadiqim, Shir number 4. And we are on page Daf Dalit, and we were discussing the different midos, the origin of the different midos. And now we're going to address, the Archos Sadiqim rather, is going to address how to make use of these different midos. So on the bottom of the page there, he says, the last paragraph rather, he says, Yesh midah shetzorach lishtamesh bo berov ha-makomos. There are certain character traits which should be used often. V'yesh midah shetzorach lishtamesh bo miyad. And there are other midos that should only seldomly be used. Listen to the moshel, gentlemen. We must remember that any time a moshel is given by the Archos Sadiqim, that means he is making an exact comparison to the nimshel, to what the message he's trying to convey. So here's the moshel. V'zedoma lo se tafshil. This can be compared to a person who is preparing a cooked dish, v'tzorach yorok, u'boso, mayim, u'melech, u'pilpilim, and he requires vegetables, meat, water, salt, and pilpilim, and pepper. V'chol elu haminim tzorach likach mehem mikol echad kashir. And from each one of these ingredients, he needs to take a certain measure. Mize miyat, u'mize harbe, a bit of this, more of that. V'im yimayit ha'bosor, and if he were to minimize or limit the amount of meat that he puts in, then the dish will come out too thin. If, for example, he increases and puts too much salt, of course it won't be edible because it'll be too salty. And so too with all the other ingredients. If you put in too much of what requires less and put too less, too little of what requires more, then obviously the dish will be spoiled, be ruined. Aval habaki, but if you're dealing with an expert chef, asheyikach mikol echad mishkal haroi, who takes the exact proper measurement of every ingredient, v'yoz yehemach hamachal orev motak lochlav, then of course the results will be picture perfect. The dish will come out sweet, and the eaters will enjoy it. That's the mashal. He says exactly this is the way it is with our character traits. There are certain character traits that we need to implore a majority of the time, and sort of like sprinkling them on heavy. Kagon, for example, and he gives us just a sprinkling of the traits that need to be used often, and that is hanova, number one, humility, v'habusha, shame, v'domehem, and similar traits. V'yesh midos, on the other hand, there are midos, shetzorach likach mehem meyat, that we only use a small amount of. And the other side of the page, he gives us examples of those. Kagon, for example, hagaiva, haughtiness, ha'azos, arrogance, achzorios, harshness, or cruelty. Lachain, the question is being asked. It seems that these particular midos, the negative ones that he mentioned, we would imagine shouldn't be used at all. And we're going to find out later, as he has a perek on each one of these character traits, that there are actually times, basically, for practically every single midah, even the quote-unquote bad ones, that need to be used in certain circumstances, as we're going to find out. Lachain, therefore, yeh ha'adam shokel bepeles habina, a person needs to weigh with an understanding scale, with an exacting scale, likach mikol midah shiura, to make use of each character trait its measure, yizoher, being careful, shlo yibchas mimidos shetzorach mehen harbe, not to take too little of the midos that a bigger measurement is required, velo yosef, on the other hand, don't increase mehem shetzorach miyat, on those character traits that we need the minimal amount, and in this manner, yagia letachlas atova, the person will reach the ultimate good, which is to behave and conduct himself in a perfect manner. In other words, this paragraph basically is telling us that there's no carte blanche. This you do and this you don't do. Be a nice guy, always be a nice guy. 100% chesed all the time, every single time, every situation. No, that's not true. There are certain cases that you don't. Even like we mentioned before, the character trait of humility. Yes, 99% of the time we're going to have to act with humility. But there are sometimes we're going to find out that we have to at least exhibit a lack of humility. Now, I just want to share an incident which I may have mentioned many years ago, a personal incident which this really came to the fore. Years ago, many years ago, I don't remember exactly, maybe it was 10 years ago already, I was asked by a few of the Rabbanim here in town to oversee the kashrus of the Coca-Cola factory here on Pembroke Road. You know that on Pesach time, they have what we call kosher Pesach Coca-Cola. Why? Because on Pesach, all year round, they're using the corn syrup as a sweetener. But because of the problem of kidneys that the Ashkenazim don't use, so they substitute on Pesach, they substitute sugar instead of corn syrup. So I was asked to be the mashgiach to oversee the operation there of Pesach, a few weeks before Pesach, that is, to make sure that the operation is going smoothly. So here it is. I made an appointment. They called me. I made an appointment to go down. They were expecting me. I tell you, it was an experience getting into this place. I don't know if you ever passed it on Pembroke Road here. It's like, first of all, it's huge. But I will tell you, I found out very quickly that it's easier to get into Fort Knox than to get into Coca-Cola. I mean, they frisked me, they checked my car, under the hood, under the trunk. I mean, it was like an army base to get in there. Finally, I get into the office, and it was an interesting experience. I'll just share a little bit of the unimportant part of it, where I walked into the office there, and there must have been, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 executives, and they were very hush-hush. I don't know, they seemed very... I don't want to use the word moody, but it was a very solemn atmosphere. And having somewhat of a sense of humor, I figured I'd lighten up the atmosphere a little bit. So I said, good morning, gentlemen. Does anybody have a Pepsi? And I will tell you, the place became dead silence, and the most choshev guy there walks right over to me, and literally over to me to my nose. He came all the way up to my nose, and he said to me, Rabbi, we don't use the P word here. He wouldn't even say the word Pepsi, like a pechisas hakoved to say Pepsi. So we won't use the P word. So anyway, that was my shalom aleichem to the place. So I come in there and I'm watching this operation. Absolutely incredible. I don't know how many thousands of bottles of Pepsi go across that, around that conveyor belt per minute. Thousands. Just you can. It looks like a blur. And I'm watching this carefully, and I'm introduced to where the syrup is coming from, and the cell, the carbonation, and so on and so forth. And then I notice, interesting, that one of these workers comes out wearing a white robe. It looks like he's working in a lab, which I found out later he was. And he randomly is pulling off certain bottles of Coke off of the conveyor belt into a case. And then I see him walking into his office, so I followed him. I wanted to know, I'm inquisitive, you know, I want to know what's going on. And I see that behind the glass window, that I'm on the other side of the window, I'm watching this, and he is doing certain experiments with the sodas that he pulled off the... And I see he is putting droplets from a syringe in some of the soda, and then he is pouring some of them into a deciphering machine that I found out afterwards what this was. He actually physically tasted some of the soda. So, and he's doing about 4, 5, 6 different experiments and checking, and finally he comes out of his office, and I ask him, what was going on? I was watching what you were doing. What's this all about? And he says to me, well, I'm making sure that there is the right precise amount of syrup to the seltzer, to the carbonation, and to the water, and to the sweetener, and to so on. And he's going on and on. He is explaining the entire system and how exact it has to be. And then finally he says to me, Rabbi, this is quality control. Quality control. And when he said those words to me, it was a Musa Haskel, amazing. Quality control, how much effort, how much work goes in to making sure that a bottle of soda is going to be so perfect that they referred to it as quality control. And I said to myself, oh, Yachnes, Alavai, if you had even a fraction of quality control over my Midos, as this guy has on a bottle of Coke. And this is exactly, it struck me later on when I had learned this paragraph that we just learned. That's exactly what he means here. That we just don't greet people with certain attitudes. It has to be quality control. How am I smiling? Who am I smiling at? What am I saying? What words am I using? Exact measurement. That's what he means, the midos. And gentlemen, let's remember, in general, the word midos, the word mida, means measurement, because midos are the measure of a person. How does he measure up? That's why our character traits are called, are referred to as midos. So that's the message of this paragraph, that whatever we do as we're working on our character, that we have to understand that we don't approach our midos in a generic form. In other words, well, sort of, you got to be a nice guy. No, it has to be with exactness, and with Hashem's help, we're going to see as we go on through the Sefer what he means with this quality control. Let's go on to the next paragraph here. You know, many people may think to themselves, well, what's the big deal if I ignore the midos? So I won't be the nicest guy in the world. Take a look at this next paragraph. It says, Tei davatov, and he says, we need to know and understand. Mi shetivo nota lemida ra, if a person is by nature inclined to having bad midos, o shaharga bemida ra, or he has become habitual in improper behavior, and he doesn't take to heart to straighten himself out, but just the opposite, he strengthens himself in the character, in the bad character that he is becoming in the habit of acting. Then maybe, look at the result, gentlemen. Then maybe also, this will bring the person, sheyimas, he will despise, v'yigal, and he will become disgusted, b'midos tovos, with good midos. That means it can bring a person, not only himself, he won't be a nice guy, but anybody, anytime he comes across someone who does have good midos, it will make him disgusted. And you wonder how that happens. And if you think about it, the truth is, there's two reasons for it. This is a lesson, gentlemen, in human dynamics. How our mind works. What makes us tick. The reason, perhaps, I'd like to offer is that the Yetzirah needs only one opening to gain access into all the rest of our midos. So if a person ignores even one mida, let's say he doesn't work on MS, on honesty. Everything else he works on, but on MS he doesn't work on. The Yetzirah finds that opening in the door and he sneaks in. Once he sneaks into our being, he has access to all other, and then he has total control. That's number one, which can lead to this downfall. Number two, people by nature cannot live with contradiction. That is the nature of human beings. We cannot survive with a contradiction within our character. If I am bad at one thing, it's difficult for me to be good at something else. That's the makeup. People don't live with contradiction. So once I become deficient in one midah, then it opens up the door for all the other midahs, and then we end up with, I guess, what we can call is a spiritual breakdown. That it'll affect our entire being. So just having the feeling, well, you know something? I'll be a nice guy in this area, but in another area, it's not worth my while, it's not worth the effort. And it is effort, because as Rabbi Yisrael Salanta is known to have said, that it's easier to go through the entire Shas than to correct one midah. If he said about himself that it took him 40 years to have the midah of kas, anger, under control, imagine 40 years, and he said, I have it under control, it doesn't mean he rid himself of anger. Now, don't misunderstand this. I would settle for Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's midah of kas before the 40 years. You know, but he's saying about himself that it took him 40 years to have. That means working on character. And we, you know, sometimes those of us who are either teachers, we have our own children, and sometimes, you know, our children don't act exactly in the manner that we wish. So we give them a little schmooze, we give them a little talk, and we figured, okay, that's it. I don't have to mention it again. Anechta getag. You mention it one time. Forget it. This is correcting a person's character. It takes repetition. It requires working on. It's like the guy who came to his Rebbe and said, Rebbe, you can be proud of me. I went through Shas. And the Rebbe asked him, yeah, but did Shas go through you? Yeah. You know, so there's a big difference between, you know, even the study of Torah. But working on character development is a work which is years in the making. You know, and when students go to college, so they take up more than space, but what is your minor? What's your major?
You're right.
Right? So the minor is, Nebuchadnezzar, you have to get credits, a certain amount of credits, whoever made them up, 120, whatever it is, you have to have a certain amount. So some of them are minors, and then you have the majors. What are you majoring in? When it comes to Midos, it's all major. There are no minors. All the traits that are mentioned in this Sefer are all majors. Let's continue, gentlemen. He elaborates on this point. In the next paragraph, amazing the way he depicts this concept of working on character. Just as ka'ev, pain, tsar, distress, and yisurim, affliction, those are maladies, physical maladies, those are physical sicknesses of the body, kein hamidos haros hen choli hanefesh. So too, he says, bad midos are a spiritual sickness. Just as when a person is physically sick, what is bitter will taste sweet, and what is sweet tastes bitter. In other words, his taste buds are off kilter. There are sick people that have a desire to eat foods that are not healthy for them, and will despise foods that are healthy for them. Commensurate with the amount of disease the person has, how sick he really is. So to human beings, if they have a spiritual disease, they have a desire and a love and a longing for deos haros, that means improper or evil traits, and they develop a hatred for the proper way, and they become lackadaisical in going in that manner, down that path, and again commensurate with how spiritually sick they are, that's how difficult it is for them to act proper. The great Navi Yeshaya said about these kinds of people, woe to those people who say about bad that it is good and say about good that is bad. They would rather take darkness for light and take light for darkness. They will set aside something which is bitter for something sweet. And just the opposite, they'll set aside something which is sweet for something which is bitter. And it's an amazing point here given by Rashi. Rashi says about these kinds of people that things that seem good, we say are bad. And things that seem bad, we think, or it could be just the opposite. Things that are really good, to us they seem bad. And things that are really bad, to us they will seem good. You know, I heard years ago, I had the schus of being at one of the talks of Rav Shvadron. Rav Shvadron, the famous Magid of Yerushalayim. And he described a similar idea. There are certain things encounters in life where they will taste very good, but the result will be bad. I mean, like when you eat something which is not good for you. So when you down the ice cream or the strawberry shortcake, samachaya. But you know what they say: a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. You know, so like at the end, it's gonna. Who knows what it's gonna do to you? You know, so same thing with the way we behave and we act. There are certain encounters that we have in life that look very enticing, but afterwards we regret it. Fakir, there are things that are difficult for us. Oh, you get up for the minyan, put the tefillin on, daven today. Difficult in the beginning, but at the end, when we've accomplished it, and samachaya. So Rav Shvadron depicted this in the following manner by two words, and they're not really words. He said, when something is very difficult to do, but you know it's the right thing to do, as you're doing it, you say, ooh. But after you do it, you go, ah. But when it comes to something which is improper, what do you start out with? Ah. But afterwards, it's ooh. That's the way Rav Shvadron said it. And this is very interesting to remember, you know, as we're about to do things in our lives, you know, always look ahead. You know, that's the Chacham. Ezel Chacham Aros Anolat. The Chacham is the person who sees the results of his action. What's going to happen after I look here? What's going to happen after I say this? You know, that's the Ua and the Au. Let's continue. Ve'aleihem Nemar. And about these kinds of people, it says in Mishlei Shlomo HaMelech writes, Ha'ozvim Orchos Yosha Lelechas Bedarke Choshech. These are people who will forsake the straight paths in life and will take on instead darkness. V'ketzad. Okay, so the Orchos Tzadikim says, so if that's the case, what does a person do? Good. You told me what not to do. What do I do? U'mahi takonas choli anefesh. What is the remedy for a person who is spiritually sick? And let's face it, gentlemen, all present company excluded, of course, but aside from people who are absolutely perfect, all of us suffer to some degree in a spiritual way. So what is it? What is the takana? What is the healing process? Look what he says. Yelchu eitzel hachachamim. We need to go and visit and seek counsel from the chachamim. Who are the chachamim? Shehim rofei hanefashos. These are people who are considered the spiritual doctors. Virapu cholyam badeo shemalamdim osam. And they will heal us, they will help us remedy ourselves by the philosophies that they will teach us. Ad sheyachzirum laderech hatova, until we are turned around to the good path. However, if we have a person who recognizes that he is spiritually sick and he refuses, he's either lazy or for some reason or another he doesn't go visit the spiritual doctor, he doesn't go seek out the advice. Aleihem Omar Shlomo. About these kinds of people, Shlomo HaMelech said, listen to this pasuk, gentlemen, also in Mishlei, Chochma u'musar evilim bazu. A fool despises chochma, wisdom, and musar. How can you not go? It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ludicrous. When a person, imagine a person wakes up chalila one day and he has chest pains. Nope. He's not going to go to the doctor, check it out, go to the cardiologist. So what are you going to say about a guy like this? It's foolish. It's ridiculous. I mean, did you lose your mind? Of course you go to the doctor. So the spirit, in a spiritual fashion, the same way. Since we need to recognize that we have some, you know, spiritual maladies, no. So where do we go? So we have to find the spiritual doctors. You go to a Rav, you call and ask a Shaila, you speak to someone who you feel has been there, done it. It's interesting, by the way, that Shlomo HaMelech refers to this person as a fool. And, you know, and I looked up the pasuk there, and there's a Metzudat Zion, one of the Mefarshim on the pasuk says, why does Shlomo HaMelech refer to this person who doesn't go to a Rav, doesn't go to a Talmud Chacham, to find the remedy for his midos? Why does he call him a fool? He says, because when we sin, it's a foolish act. No person who is not foolish, no person who is not foolish would ever sin. And he mentions the rule, the golden rule. Ein odam over avera ela imke nichnas bo ruach shtus. A person does not sin unless he is, I guess what we would call these days, stricken by temporary insanity. Right? Temporary insanity. How'd you do such a thing? If Melech Machem Lachem, God is before us, and we know exactly what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, and we sin, how can we do such a thing? Elim ke nichnas bo ruach shtus. I must have lost my mind. Right? This is a person's freedom of choice. If he wants to attempt to work on himself, to learn Musar, or go to a person who's an expert and describe his particular challenge in life. Everybody's got a challenge in life. That's the way it is. There are weaknesses and there are strengths. There are certain people who are Bali Taiva, extremely, you know, passionate and full of lust, but they have absolutely no problem telling the truth all the time. It's not their weakness. And everyone's got their own weakness. So you have to find the expert. You call certain people who are the experts in certain areas. Somebody recently asked me about how to handle a situation with one of the children that they discovered is not telling the truth. A child not telling the truth. So do you let it go? Do you ignore it? And it's, it's not so easy to ignore something like that. Especially lying. So, it's interesting that in that case it was lying, because lying is one of those midos which must be taken under control. Must be taken, because if a person doesn't learn to tell the truth, you never know where he's going to go wrong in life. Besides the fact, anyone here or anybody you know, if you don't have a good memory, it pays to tell the truth. Because you're going to have to remember, what you say. You see, if you don't have a good memory, but you're honest, there's no problemo. Because you always tell the truth anyway. So I don't remember what I said last week. Let me get this. I always tell the truth anyway. But if you're a guy who doesn't tell the truth, you better have a good memory. Because if not, you're doomed to be uncovered. Let's continue, gentlemen. It's very important that before a person sets on the journey to correct his midos, that he does the research beforehand. Any project a person begins in life, it's always more worthwhile to do the research and find out what he's in for. So this is the next paragraph. Yesh kama b'nei odom asher tavosam litvos derech hatov. There are many people who grab a hold, who have a desire to grab a hold of the right path. In other words, they have a desire, they want to do the right thing. However, v'einam yodim ma tov lehem, they just simply don't know what's good for them. V'choshvim, and they think, b'chol yom lahasik ha'malo s'val yonos, they always wish to attain those high levels. V'einam masigim osam kol yameyem, and before they know it, their life goes by, and they never attain it. And he explains why this is so. What do you mean, I want to improve? Why can't I improve? And he explains it. Let's turn the page. V'zeh ha'inyin ba machmashnei devarim. He says, the reason for this is twofold. Number one, O Echad, she'eino makir chesrono ve'eino mavchin bidrochav hamagunim. Because people sometimes don't recognize their own faults, and they don't differentiate within their own bad actions. In other words, they group it all together. Yeah, I mess up all the time. That's not the case all the time. First, I have to recognize that I mess up. But after I recognize that I mess up, where exactly did I mess up? Because if it's a whole chulent, then you really can't handle it. If it's one mishmash, that this is part of the reason people don't actually attain it. V'hudomer, again, he gives an example. Listen to the example. V'hudomer l'Ruvain shemachapes achashim aveinu makiro. This is a person by the name of Ruvain, who is sent on a mission to find someone by the name of Shimon, veinu makiro, but doesn't know what he looks like. This Ruvain can search up and down all day. Lo yimtzoei, he'll never find them. Ava bishu choshev limtzo, so even though he expects to find them. Why? Ki kama pomin yavo etzlo v'yekareo. He can pass him right by on the street. He doesn't recognize him, so he doesn't know it's him. Keino adam azeh, so too this person who's working on his midos. Ava bishu choshev tomin ma'yasil machapes ma'aseh atov. Even though he is interested and he's very eager to seek out the good way, lo yasil, he will never attain it. Why? Kivon she'eino makir chesrono. He simply doesn't recognize the chesaron. Let me give you an example of this. Let's take kas. We were discussing kas, the midah of anger. We attribute sometimes things that we do out of kas, we attribute it to something else. For example, a guy in the middle of the day loses his cool. And if somebody would approach him, hey, well, what's the matter with you? And you'll attribute it because, I don't know, my wife burnt the toast this morning. Something simple like that. The car didn't start. I'm upset today, I'm angry today because the car didn't start. Now, he could say it's the weather. It's the bad weather. I've heard people say that. Oh, when the weather's like this, I'm out of control. Forget it. No. Gentlemen, there's a very good saying to remember. There are three things that a person needs to survive in this world: food, shelter, and someone to blame. And there are people who go through life in this manner, and that's exactly his point here. The person will never be able to find the correct way in life if he's a Baal Kas, because he doesn't recognize that the fault is right here in his meat of Kas. He has to work on the Kas. It has nothing to do with the weather. It has nothing to do with the burnt toast. It has nothing to do with the traffic. When I come to say, so you made me, you ever hear a person say, don't get me angry.
Yeah.
Wait, don't get me angry. People don't get you angry. People do things and you choose to get angry.
Yeah.
No one in the world can get you angry. You know, we choose to do that. In his mind, he's saying to himself, oh, if this guy wouldn't have showed up today, I'd be fine. He's not recognizing. That's what he means here. Kiva Jaino Make Chasrono, he doesn't recognize his fault. V'yeshadam, let's continue. V'yeshadam sh'yodeya hamido saroh sh'yeshbo. Then you have a person on a higher level. He does recognize his faults. V'choshev lotseis mehem v'lechos b'midos tovos. And he intends to correct his ways. But he also, the gamhu lo yasek kol yom avder hayosha. He too will never find the proper straight path. Machmas, because shemis atzel milachapes pamidos atovos karoi, because he never learned, or he doesn't put the effort in to seek out the good midos properly. He wants to do it, but he doesn't do it properly. And here's the mashal for this kind of guy. For hu dom el Reuven shemachape Shimon umakiro. Here's Reuven who's looking for Shimon, and he knows what Shimon looks like. He would recognize him. But he still never find him. Why? Because he's not looking for him properly. He doesn't exhaust himself. Somebody says you on a mission, go find such and such, and you don't find it. You know exactly what it looks like. But you know, we ask our kids sometimes, you know, I'm looking for the vacuum cleaner, go find the vacuum cleaner. They come back 2 minutes later, can't find it. Mom, Dad, I can't find it. They can't find it. Wow. Did you look in the closet? Oh, as a matter of fact, I forgot to look in the closet. Wait a minute. Of course you won't find it. You know what the vacuum cleaner looks like, but they're not going to come back with it because they didn't look properly. So Al-Zen Eman, about this, Shlomo HaMelech says, Kesev Nifchor Lashon Tzadik. Choices silver is the tongue of a tzaddik. If you want to know... Yeah, kesev nifchor lishon tzaddik. The tongue of a tzaddik is the choicest silver. What does that mean? So, of course, it's a very difficult pasuk to understand. So, I did a little research and I found the Malbim. The Malbim explains this pasuk as follows. You know, when we try to examine ourselves and our faults, we try, if we're being honest with ourselves, and we reach that level already where we want to correct ourselves, so we sit back in a chair, and we sit in front of a mirror, and we're trying to introspect, and we're trying to discover and find out, where am I going wrong? Where is the fault? But since we're not experts, since we don't really know how to search well, we could literally pass it right by, and we won't grab hold of it, even though we recognize perhaps what it is, but we just cannot differentiate because we're not experienced enough. When you go to a tzaddik, and a tzaddik in this case means a person who is a great Baal Musar, a person who understands human dynamics, a person who understands the workings of bad and good midos, this kind of person has an automatic, I guess what we can call a filtering system. They get straight to the point. We get distracted. When we see a picture, we get completely distracted and it throws us off course. But when you go to a person who knows what he's doing, he gets rid of, you know, the mashal that Shlomo HaMelech is giving with the choice of silver. And if you ever did any research and read up about how they process silver, it's not so, you don't mine straight silver out of the ground. It comes with a bunch of other trash, junk, and you have to put it through a filter, and you have to put it through another filter, and you have to get rid of the waste, and then hopefully you get rid of enough waste, you're left with the silver. So he says that's exactly what a great personality is. A person who is a Baal Musar, the expert, is going to be able to do. When we come to him with our issues, and we try to explain to him, where I'm failing, or how... He will be able to get straight. He's got the built-in filtering system. He gets straight to the point. He zooms in. I had the tremendous schus, to have. I still have the schus to have our Rebbe Rav Henoch Leibowitz, who had any experience with him, who's known to be just an expert in human dynamics. And I remember times I would go to him, and I would certain issues and discuss with him. And I was always amazed how within a matter of moments, he would sort of like, shoo, He was like right through, straight to the target, straight on the target. And this is a, you know, it's a koach, because you know, the more experience in life that a person has in this, and the more genius in this area, is, of course, we're able to do it. Perish, let's continue right after the parentheses. Perish called Zeha Pasuk Kahu. This is the explanation of this pasuk that we just learned. Misha Nosha Bachaver Balasham Lo Kesav Mishkal. Imagine you owe your friend money and you come to give him, to pay him back with silver, you know, weighed out silver. Im Eino Maki Bamitas Hamishkal Betzedek Abosnaim. If the creditor does not understand weights and the accuracy of the scales, O Makir Akol, or he does understand that, Ah, Sheino Baki Bemachinas HaKesef, he doesn't know how to evaluate silver, how much it's actually worth. Zeho Yish, this kind of person, this creditor, Korov Leos Nizok Binyan HaMishkol Bemachinas HaKesef, he is going to get, I guess what we say these days, ripped off. He's not going to be paid back what is owed to him. Why? Because there will be times, Yemo'in Bakesev, he's going to refuse to take from you real silver, because he doesn't differentiate what it is, V'yika Hasigim. And he's going to end up with the waste matter, because he doesn't know the difference between the two. He's not an expert. And he will also take less of him, of the weight than is coming to him. He'll put on the wrong side of the scale, he'll put the wrong weights, and he'll put the weights on the wrong places. In all of these cases, he's going to end up with the biggest mistake of his life. Even if he is the expert in all these areas, if he's like the second guy who knows everything, but he lacks the effort, he doesn't work hard enough, it's possible she is orvu bekaspo sigim, in the silver that's delivered to him, there will be waste matter because he didn't work hard enough. Avalim hu baki bakol, but if this person is the ultimate baki, the expert, b'mishkol, in the weights, u'bakesev, and kesev, and then silver, u'mistakel b'karoy, and he puts the correct amount of effort into it, oz u'mishtalem karoy, then he will be paid properly, kesev, noki, pure, unadulterated silver, v'sholem b'mishkol, and the exact weight, lochein, therefore, says the author, dima l'shon tzadik l'kesev nifchar. That's why Shlomo HaMelech compared choice silver to the tongue of a tzaddik. Why? Ki a tzaddik tzorech lahakir ato v'hara. The tzaddik has to be able to differentiate what is good and what is bad. For the osboki be'erech komida, and he also has to be an expert in the value of each trait. V'tzorech listakel ulosbonim bohem karoy, and he needs the patience and the fortitude to be able to work on it and sweat and to toil. V'lios toreach begufo b'chachmaso lazov hatipshos v'lechos batfuna. And he has to have the work ethic in order to, and the wisdom, he says, to let go of the foolishness and to grab on to the understanding, and to remove the mixture of waste from what he is taking, and then and only then his soul will be tzerufa, pure, mezukoka, and refined lelokim, to do the service of Hashem, to divine service, like it says again in Shlomo HaMelech says, Hagoy sigim mikosev v'yetzei latzorev keli. If you remove the waste from the silver, then the refiner will end up with the 100% perfect utensil. Perish meaning kishiyosira hasigim, removing the waste. Oz yeh hakli tzoruf, then the vessel will be pure. You know, we once gave an example of this, and we used a well-known person from our history. Michelangelo, I'm sure you've heard of Michelangelo, and he was, of course, famous for his sculptures that he developed. And somebody once asked him how it's possible that a human being could do such incredible work. The sculptures that you've made are just absolutely, they're beautiful, they're wonderful. How do you do it? And he answered, and I think that's the point that Orach HaTzaddikim is saying. He said, "The sculpture is already in the stone. All I do is remove the rubbish." And that's exactly the point here. And if you think about it, how true it is. The sculpture is in the stone. All he's doing is scraping away the rubbish. That's exactly the point here. All we need to do is to become the experts in removing the rubbish. Because we, Jewish people, are imbued with a neshama tahora. We say it every morning. Neshama shelosata bi tahorihi ataberosa tayitzarta. Hashem formed it. He gave it to us. It's a 100% pure neshama, but it becomes dirtied by the environment. You know, there's a lot of chemicals out there, spiritual poisonous chemicals, whether it be the media or it be the enticements of the world or the chveis or whatever it is. You know, everybody's got their own way of dirtying the neshama. The language we use, the thoughts that go through our minds, you know. So all we need to do, gentlemen, basically, is to remove that rubbish. You know, lahavdil, like Michelangelo said. And then a neshama tahora will shine pure. Let's finish the paragraph. Yesh Adam, there are those kinds of people, ha-mishtane ba-minhagim ve'ina kavua. I don't know if you ever met a guy like this. He's a person who his behavior keeps on varying. He's not set in one way. Zman echad ocheiz b'min egzer. Sometimes he follows this custom. Uzman echad mistalek me'olso minig ve'ocheiz b'min egacher. And then he goes and he switches off and he conducts himself in a different way. V'chocha yasel yolam. And this kind of guy, you know, lives his life this way. You know, he's like, like in Yiddish we say, a tanz of yedechasana, right? He's like this, he's trying to, you know. He says, this could be compared to someone who wants to travel to a certain city. He doesn't know how to get there. And he gets lost on the way. So because he's going to try this route, and he's not going to find his destination. And he's going to go on a different route. And he's just picking and choosing, you know, guessing his way through. And about this kind of person, the Chacham said, Amar haksilim tiyagenu. The labor of a fool will weaken him. Because he doesn't know how to get there. Gentlemen, think of it this way. You're going to work in the morning. And you get into a traffic jam, and you turn on the, you have a choice, you turn on your, the first choice is to turn on the radio, the weather, the traffic report. And the guy gets up there and he's reporting from the helicopter up above. And he says, I-95, 5 miles ahead, is jam-packed, forget it, take 441 instead. Now, you have a choice. What is the person going to say? Ah, what does he know? What does he know? I'm staying on I-95. No. This guy's going to ever get where he wants to go. So he's the kind of person, he's like the Chacham, the guy in the helicopter. He has the vision that we don't have. He sees the future, literally. He sees the results of our actions. He's up there and he has a vision that can tell us what's going to happen in the future, literally. So it'd be foolish for a person to say to himself, I'm not going to listen to him. So here you have chachamim that we have access to, and sometimes we have to make phone calls, you know. I don't know, tonight I'll have time yet, tomorrow I have to call one of the gedolim, I have a shayla I have to deal with, and it's too difficult for me, I have to call one of the gedolim. So we need to consult, take a phone call sometimes. What do you think we have telephones for? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these things for a reason. You know, use it for the proper way. So we have these people who are in the helicopter. You know, this mashal that I'm giving you now with the helicopter is not my own. This is Rav Sadia Gaon. It's on this pasuk in Kohelet that we just quoted that Rav Sadia Gaon is making this. What?
I think the